good morning, City of Lions. How you doing? All right, good to see you. Hey, listen, real quick, let's just say hello to those that are watching on Facebook right now in our digital space. What's up, guys? So excited to be with you guys here today. And listen, if you are new, good news, I'm new too. So we can get to know everyone together. And, you know, like we said, my name is Nith. I'm really excited to be here with you guys. And I'd love to get a chance to get to know you as well as my family. So actually, after service, we'll actually be doing a meet and greet. It's going to be outside behind those doors. But first, please make sure you get your kids. You want to meet your kids, too. I know some of you are like, I don't know, I'm trying to kind of dodge them. But no, grab your kids, and then we can all hang out there. We can get to know you, because I heard there's cupcakes. Y'all like cupcakes? Okay, they like cupcakes. Awesome. Well, that's that. There you go. Hey, listen, before I jump in, I just want to take a moment just to personally say thank you to the staff, the elders, the deacons. Can we just get here for the staff, the elders, the deacons? I am really, really grateful for them because they have had to lead in probably one of the most difficult seasons in the history of the church. You have a pandemic, you have a lockdown, and in the midst of a pastoral search. And that's a lot, and they did a great job keeping everyone focused on Jesus, as well as Pastor Joel Smith, who was here for the past few weeks and months. And I'm really grateful for them, because if it weren't for them, we would not be able to be where we are today. Now, I know that many of you are probably thinking, all right, so what's this new pastor going to be about? What's he going to do? Is he going to like start breaking stuff off the bat? Like, what's going on here? Well, I just wanted to, right now, just let you know, here's my heart. And my heart really is to do two things in the next couple of weeks and months. It's to listen and to learn. I really want to get to know you. I want to get to know the heart of City Lions as well as the heart of Williamsport. And so really, in this next season is a season of listening and learning. Because the truth of the matter is, this has really been like a really kind of heavy season that we've been in. You know, and I've had the opportunity to talk to some of you. I've talked with some of the staff. Some of the deacons, the elders as well. And as I've kind of been praying, this really is, I think, going to be a season of our church of rebuilding. Because COVID has kind of taken a lot away from us. We've had a lockdown that's taken away our Sunday morning gatherings for a season. We've had, safety, normalcy, all kind of shaken up. And so there's going to be a season, I think, of rebuilding and restoration that God wants to take us through. And as I was kind of praying about, Lord, what is it you want me to share in this first message, one verse came to mind. It's actually in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Let's actually put it on the screen here. And I actually want all of us to say this together out loud in one loud voice. You ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Here's what I believe. I believe that God wants to make rivers through what was dry. Amen? I believe that God wants to bring life where there once was death. Where we were once surviving, God wants to make us thriving. Amen? Because our God wants to do something new. Does anyone want to be a part of something new that God's doing? Amen. I think all of us want to be part of something new. But it's going to involve a dirty word that starts with the letter C. Change. What were some of you thinking? Just kidding. I like to have fun. Or at least I try to have fun. Let me ask you this. Just all honesty. How many of you, like, you love change? You're like, I got to, keep it fresh. I got to keep moving. Okay, a couple of you. How many of you are like, I hate change? Like, I have a rhythm. I have a routine. Don't mess with it. How many of you hate it when pastors ask you to raise their hand, and you're like, I'm not playing this game, Pastor. Well, here's the thing. Here's the title of my message. It's this. It's change is easy, transition is hard. Change is easy, transition is hard. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, like, what? Dude, don't you know that change and transition, they're the same thing? Listen, I know that pot is legal in New Jersey, but you can't be smoking it here. All right. Well, listen. Here's the thing. I asked Brandon what I should or shouldn't say in this message, so if there's something that offends you, talk to him. He used my filter. Well, listen, here's the thing. I do think there's actually nuance between what change and transition is. And I think that'll actually help us especially as many of us are navigating so many changes and so much uncertainty in the world around us. Here's the thing. Change is external. Transition is internal. Change can happen in an instant. Transition may take time. So change is when you kind of walk into your boss's office and they say, "I'm so sorry. We've eliminated your position. You need to clear out your desk right away." Instant. Quick. But there's some change that we actually choose into. Like, we've decided that we are going to get married. That's going to be a change from singlehood to being married. There's the change from going to having no kids to one kid, or going from one kid to two kids. All of those are changes. They're external, and they're things that we decide into. Transition is different. Transition may take time, depending on each and every person. In fact, transition is really a mindset change that has to take place. And here's what's kind of scary, is things can change all around us, but we don't have to change with it. It's the man who just had his first newborn child, but is still, after work, going to the bar, hanging out with his buddies, then home to help with his wife. His mindset hasn't caught up with the change of reality that's taken place. He's still living like he's single and he's self-centered. And here's the thing, guys. Change always happens, but we don't always keep a pace with the changes that are happening. Even the changes that God is bringing to us, we can still stay stuck if we don't transition well. So here's kind of my big idea. If you remember anything, it's this. If you're taking notes, change is inevitable. Growth is intentional. In fact, why don't we all say that together? Change is inevitable, but growth is intentional. Because like I said, change is happening all the time. But growth doesn't necessarily have to happen. How many of you guys know that guy you talked to? Like, you graduated high school 10 years ago, he's still talking about the big game? Or maybe you've got buddies you went to college with and they're still partying and they're like in their 40s and 50s. You're like, bro, come on. Like, you gotta move on from this. Because here's the deal, guys. This past season, we have seen more change than we know what to do with. I mean, if you're a college student, this semester's been crazy, right? And again, like I said before, you've had a pandemic. We've had a lockdown. We've lost normal life. Maybe if you've got kids, you've struggled with hybrid learning. Like, are we back to school? Are we virtual? Like, how's that working? Navigating jobs and difficulties? Or even transitioning from pastor leaving and going to what's next? What's this next season look like? And here's the thing, guys, we'll always be changing. Things are always going to be happening around us, but we don't always have to be growing. That's a choice that we can make. Because here's the thing, and here's why so many of us don't want to engage with change, is because change equals loss. It brings loss with it. And loss brings pain. None of us likes pain. But here's the reality. Our pain can do one of two things. It can keep us stuck where we are emotionally and spiritually, always talking about the good old days, always talking about how things should be, and always complaining. Or change can be the great, or pain actually can be the greatest catalyst of growth and life change in our lives. But it's our choice. And City Alliance Church, here's my prayer, here's my encouragement, here's my challenge. Let us not waste our pain from this past year. Let's let it catapult us to the next season that God has for us. And so, guys, I want to take a look at this passage that was just read for us today in Acts chapter 3. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it up. But we're going to kind of walk through it again on the screen here. It says this: Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer services. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg for the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up, and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. Now, I think for a lot of us, this is a pretty familiar passage. And I think we've all heard like that whole thing, you know, silver and gold have I none, but, you know, in the name of Jesus, be healed. You know, we kind of know that passage a little bit. But, you know, as I was reading this passage, something was kind of coming up to me, you know, and, you know, whenever I'm writing a message, like I'm kind of reading it and researching, and I'm kind of listening to a bunch of different messages. And then I heard a message from a guy named Stephen Furtick that kind of brought something up I'd never thought of before in this passage, which is all of the transitions that were happening here. I mean, let's like take a look at verses 1 and 2. It says this: Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. So already in this passage, pay attention to all the words about transition and movement that's all taking place there. Here we see this man who's being carried. You know, whenever I read this, I always thought he was already like, you know, on the corner begging. No, he was being carried in. He was going in transition to a place called the Beautiful Gate. In fact, let me show you a picture here of the Beautiful Gate. It's actually in Jerusalem today. They call it the Beautiful Gate because they thought at the time it was covered in bronze, and so when the sunlight hit it, and you know, bronze over time changes colors, and it was very beautiful, and people were like, this is like gorgeous. In fact, maybe one day City Alliance will end up in Israel and see it for ourselves. How cool would that be, right? Yeah. So the city gate there, beautiful, and so this man's kind of put there. And so Peter and John, it says here, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Now, many of you probably know this, that in the ancient world, there is no social safety net. So if you're disabled or if something happens to your family, your only job is actually to beg. So this person begging on the streets, that was actually his job. In fact, in many parts of the world, that still is how it is today. In fact, check out this picture here. This is a woman and she's basically begging for money. This is her job. That's how she's kind of caring for herself or her family. And that's kind of what's going on in this passage. This guy is on his way to the office, right? He's in the carpool, they're picking him up and they're dropping him off at the Beautiful Gate so he can kind of get his work done. That's kind of a day in the office. And then look what it says in verse 4. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. Let's just pause for a moment. So Peter just kind of looks at him. This feels awkward, doesn't it? Like, literally, that's literally what, it just says Peter's just kind of looking at him intently, the other guy's looking at him eagerly, and I'm sure he's thinking, bro, you gonna give something or you gonna move on? Like, come on, like, I got work to do. But literally, getting this really weird, bizarre staring contest, and it says this: I don't have any silver and gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In fact, why don't we say this together, that's in yell in one big loud voice. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Now, I want you to imagine, like, this is kind of an awkward scene here. So, you know, the guy's, like, looking for him, he's staring, and then all of a sudden, Peter is filled with this faith, and he looks at this man who's kind of on the ground, I think, at this point. He goes, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk! You all know Peter, right? Peter's impatient. He's like, I can't wait for this guy. Come on, man, get up! He just pulls him right up. He's like, you gotta get up now, man. I can't wait for you to get healed. And it says the guy's, like, leaping, and he's jumping. He's like, praise Jesus, I can walk, I'm healed again. And it's this incredible miracle that takes place right there in that moment. And here's what's even more powerful about this passage. It says that they take him into the temple. And here's why this is significant. You could only go into the temple if you're an able-bodied man. So this man literally had been steps from the temple, from the presence of God. He was adjacent to the presence of God, but he was never allowed to experience the presence of God. So for the first time, he's in church. For the first time, he's worshiping God. And the people are all like, yo, is that Joe? I'm going to give him a name because we're going to talk about him a lot. He doesn't have a name. It doesn't seem fair. So we're going to call him Joe. So, yo, is that Joe? I guess so. Is he walking? Yeah, he's with Peter and John. What's going on? And it says, like, you know, so they all bum rush him. It says this, they all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. Peter saw his opportunity, and he addressed the crowd. So God used this miracle, this change in this man's life, to share the gospel. Now, you talk about instantaneous change. There's a lot going on here. You go from being lame to full bodied. You go from, you know, being kind of separated from everybody to finally you can actually come into community and worship. There is so much change and transition in this passage that if we want to transition well, if we want to receive the new that God has for us, I believe there's three lessons from this passage that can help us do that. So if you're taking notes, the first lesson is this: pay attention to your tension. This passage is filled with all sorts of tension. Look what it says here in verse 4. It says, Peter and John looked at him intently. Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. So there's a tension there, like in expectations. This guy is like expecting some change, and they'll move on. But Peter and John are like, well, maybe God wants to do something here. There's even a tension of just status. There's the tension of, hey, you know, this guy is in poverty, but Peter and John are these two able-bodied men. They're kind of, there's this like a power dynamic there's there. There's all this tension that's happening in this situation about what's going to happen. How's this going to get resolved? And, you know, when we're in times of change and transition, there's a lot of tension that we feel. We're trying to figure out where are we going to land at the end of this. There's all this uncertainty, and how do we navigate through all of that? And oftentimes, in times of transition, we feel anxiety. We may even feel some depression. We may feel some angst, even if they're good transitions, right? Like you get promoted at your job, that's a good transition, but you're going to miss all the people that you worked with. You know, even getting married, that's a great transition, but you're not going to be able to spend your time the way you used to, kind of on your own. Even when you have kids, things are going to change. Even if they're good changes, there's still a little bit of a sadness that happens. And I think so often what we try to do is we try to push them down. It's like, I'm okay. I'm a Christian. I'm doing well. I'm okay. But yet, here's the thing. We can definitely numb our pain, right? Some of us numb it with work. Like, we just start working longer, harder hours. Some of us will numb it with maybe, you know, we open up the first book of Ben and Jerry's, right? We'll kind of eat to numb the pain away. Or maybe what we'll do is we'll watch Netflix, or maybe even get into some sinful things like pornography or something like that. And all of this so we can just numb our pain, so we don't have to feel it. Because no one wants to feel vulnerable. Nobody wants to navigate through our pain. But if we don't acknowledge the pain and the loss that comes through change, we'll stay stuck. We won't be able to move through them. You know, many of you guys know this, that our family, we're in this season of navigating not just change, but transition. And so, you know, we really believe that God's led us to City Lions, and we are super excited to be here, to serve with you, and to serve the city. But obviously, there's a lot of change and transition, even among our family, that's very different. Like, when we told our kids, you know, my daughter, very honest, and I really respect her honesty, was just really like, Dad, I don't want to do this. I don't want to move. This is really hard. Even though she's excited, there's these new people and new friends to meet. And my son, on the other hand, his question was, Dad, are we bringing the Switch? And then after I said, yeah, we're bringing the Switch, then he goes upstairs, and check out this picture here. He comes down with suitcases. Y'all, this is April. So in terms of change and transition, he's ready to go. He's like, there's a sign, pursue my happiness, Pennsylvania, I'm there, right? And, you know, my wife and I, we're all, you know, we're going through all these different phases. Some days we're excited about all the opportunities and all the things. Then we're also feeling sad, but man, this is going to be different. We're going to miss our friends. We've been in New Jersey for 10 years. It's going to be tough. And I remember for me, you know, because in our house, like, I love change. So I'm like the, let's change things all the time. But I remember, like, there was this one day, I'm folding laundry. And one of the things I like to do when I fold laundry is I watch, you know, Winter Soldier and, you know, the Falcon. Any Falcon, Winter Soldier fans? Okay, five of us, great. So, you know, I'm watching the Falcon, Winter Soldier, folding laundry. And as I'm doing this, this thought comes to mind. Man, I'm really, really going to miss New Jersey. And I started to weep. I started to cry. And in that moment, I let myself grieve. And you know, it's kind of a comical sight, like literally, like I'm crying, and like, you know, there's snot getting on the clean clothes, and like, you know, the winter soldier's killing somebody, and you know, really an odd moment to be weeping. But here's what I know, is if I didn't take that moment to stop and to grieve and to be sad, to feel all of those emotions, I would stay stuck in that place. See, I want to fully release and say goodbye well so that I can experience all that God has for me. Because here's the thing. If we don't grieve our losses, if we don't release them, they stay within us and they become toxic. Not just to ourselves, but to other people around us. We start to leak. Because what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who what? Who mourn, who grieve, absolutely. And some of you right now are in transition. And maybe you've been taught it's not okay to grieve. It's not okay to acknowledge your losses. You just need to praise your way through it. And obviously there's a place for worship, but there's a place where we need to kind of pause and let ourselves grieve and let ourselves feel our feelings. In fact, sometimes one of the things I do is I like to journal. And I want to share some journal prompts. Why don't you go ahead and put this next slide up there. And if you want, you can take out your phone and take a picture of that. But sometimes I'll go through these questions as a way to kind of help me get in touch with those areas of loss. Questions like, what is making me sad? What is making me mad? What's making me glad? Or what's making me anxious? Sometimes we need help kind of bringing those things to the surface. Because, you know, even leaving for something good leaves you feeling sad. Leaves you feeling anxious. You know, maybe you just graduated college. You're going to miss that season of life, and you're not sure what the next season looks like or what the economy looks like. Take a moment to pause, to grieve, and to allow God's Spirit to kind of enter into those moments. Because what that does is it helps you to release the old, and now gives you capacity to receive the new. I'll look at the second lesson here, which is this. Worship with intention. So don't deny or delay your feelings, but as you're doing that, make sure that you worship with intention, just like this lame man did. Look what it says here. It says, he jumped up and stood on his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This man is actually walking. He's actually praising God. He's actually worshiping him. And you see, when we have these times of transitions, we also need to be intentional to worship God in the midst of this. See, I want to encourage you to intentionally worship, even when you may not feel like doing that. You know, I think it's interesting, like the word for worship here in the Greek is aineo, but it has a really interesting Hebrew equivalent, and that is the word tehillah. Say tehillah. Now, I want to clarify something. It's not tequila, it's tehillah. Some of you are like, are there going to be margaritas at this meet and greet after church? All right, I'm here. Again, I'm kidding, I like to have fun. But the word is tehillah. Tehillah means to praise. It means to sing a new song to God. You know, sometimes the Bible tells us to sing a new song to God to kind of make those words known. And this lame man wasn't just praising God that he could walk again. He was praising God that he was restored to his community. He was praising God for this new reality that was coming before him. And that he was able to finally worship with others. You see, one of the things I think the pandemic made us realize is that we often take for granted that we can actually gather together for worship. It was taken away from us. That's why, guys, I want to encourage a City Lines Church, whether we do it online or whether we gather in person, to be intentional about gathering together for worship. Something happens when we come together, when we make this a priority, that we are going to worship one another. So there's this corporate aspect of gathering, but tehillah also is this personal aspect too. It's basically, I'm writing God a new song, and maybe this new song doesn't rhyme, or maybe I don't sing it on key, but it's my song to God. It's often, you know, I'm in the car, and I'm just kind of talking to God. I'm like, God, I want to thank you so much for my wife and my kids and my family. But, you know, God, I'm also frustrated with just kind of the way the world is right now. I'm frustrated about certain friendships that just don't seem to be meshing anymore. God, I'm frustrated about hybrid learning, and I don't know anything of how you're going to navigate me through this, God. But it's literally taking your grief, your loss, your joy, your gratitude, and say, God, I'm going to give this all to you. Guys, how much do you know that God wants all of you? The good, the bad, the ugly. That's tehillah, to write a fresh, new song to God. City Alliance, in the midst of your transitions, I want to encourage you to take them to God. Worship with intention. He wants all that you have. I want to look at the third lesson here in this passage, which is this. Look for instruction in the disruption. See, another reason why we don't like transition is it's disrupting, isn't it? It's like I had a flow, I had a rhythm, I had a pattern, and a habit, a ritual, and now it's thrown out the window. See, this man experienced incredible disruption. Now, I know a lot of us, maybe when we read this story in Sunday school, we're like, praise Jesus, he healed the lame man, yes! Now, I'm sure that man felt that way at the moment, but look what happened later. It says the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. What happened to leaping and walking? And now he's like literally holding Peter and, well, what's going on? This man was lame from birth. He's never used his legs before. So he jumped up and he's leaping, but now he's taken some shaky steps. So he's got to learn how to walk again for the first time. All right, let's talk about economically. This guy's job was sitting at the beautiful temple gate and asking for money. Put some coins in my cup. Now, all of a sudden, he's not a beggar anymore. He's fully abled. He's got to get a new job. He's got to get some new training. Or how about his friendships? I mean, think about it. This guy had this group of people that would literally pick him up and drop him off. They had enabled him to kind of live that way. Well, now he's got to find some other friends, because I bet you most of his friends are other beggars, too. See, when we're in times of transition where God is trying to grow us, there are some hard decisions we may have to make. There may be ways of seeing God that we're realizing, you know what, this isn't actually biblical, that we got maybe from our family of origin, or maybe just kind of picked up along the way that we're going to have to throw out. There may actually be some friendships, some relationships that we've had that maybe for a season were good, but now we realize I need to move on from here. Like, I want to get serious in my walk with God, but all my friends want to do is party and drink, and oh, I gotta shift directions. Or even maybe you thought, okay, I thought this was the career I wanted, now I'm doing it, but I hate it. But now I've got to shift. I've got to move. I've got to grow and think differently. Here's the thing. When we're in times of disruption, it's going to require us to think differently. God doesn't want to just change your circumstance. He wants to change the way you see your circumstance. He wants to change the way you see him and yourself. And in fact, many of these times, he actually wants to enlarge your capacity for compassion. I mean, I know this has happened to me a couple of years ago, where... You know, my wife and I joke, my wife's the nice one. You guys will learn that very quickly. She's very empathetic and kind. I pretend to be. No, I'm just kidding. But it's a true story. I took this like personality test when I was in seminary, and my professor looked at me and goes, so 1 out of 10 in terms of compassion and empathy, you got like a 1. You sure you want to be a pastor? I go, I'm just going where Jesus is going. So he's got some work in me to do. And I remember there was, you know, a moment I was kind of a pastor, and this one girl was kind of part of our college ministry, and she kept kind of saying, you know what, like, I've got all these, like, physical issues, like, I'm always going in and out of the doctors, and it's really frustrating because the doctors don't seem to know what's wrong. In fact, they started telling me that I need to go see a psychologist because they think it's in my head. And, you know, I'm taking that in, and then, you know, she's posting stuff on social media about, okay, you know, she just went to go see, you know, Ed Sheeran and all these different like concerts. She's going to Broadway every week. I'm going, what's going on? There doesn't seem to be like, it seems like there's kind of like a disconnect. I don't get what's going on. And if I can be honest with you guys, like I kind of judged her. Like, I'm not proud of this. I kind of judged her. I kind of wrote her off. I'm like, all right, she's just looking for attention. And kind of moved on to other people. Until one day I got a phone call. Hey, Nathan, you need to come to the hospital. Sarah's really sick. I was like, oh my gosh. And so, you know, I got in the car, went to the hospital, and she was in a coma. And so apparently, you know, they called all these experts from all over the country, and one of them, literally like a needle in the haystack, they finally found him and said he knew exactly what was wrong with her, was able to diagnose her, but there was so much damage done that had went through her body that literally had brought her into a coma. Now, you know, she did, you know, come out of it. You know, we prayed for her parents. I prayed for her. She's 100% better. But I remember leaving the hospital just feeling like garbage. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like there was really something there. But like my lack of compassion at the time, like was not there. And then I learned a little bit more that folks who've had like long-term trauma or even like long-term sicknesses, a lot of times their coping mechanisms are kind of material things. Like people will try to kind of help them with just different things like that. And it just changed the way I saw folks who were struggling with long-term illness or long-term sicknesses. You see, that disruption literally enlarged my heart. It gave me a compassion I never had before. And City Lions, I'm still getting to know y'all, but maybe some of you are there or you're watching on Facebook. Maybe you've experienced long-term chronic sickness or pain. And I just want to encourage you that Jesus sees you. You're not alone. He's with you. And God is using it. He's using all things for his good. When it comes to change, change is hard. Sometimes it changes our mindset. Like, I had to change the way I thought about people. God had enlarged my compassion, that muscle in me. But here's the thing, church. Change, it's inevitable. It's always coming. It's always happening. You're a day older than you were yesterday. But growth, that's intentional. You have a choice. Do I want to grow through this? Or do I want to stay stuck and bitter? You know, I think about that lame man who's literally holding on to Peter and John. He's learning how to use his legs for the first time. He's walking. And what does God do with this lame man who's taking shaky steps? He doesn't have it all together yet. Peter says, people are coming. They want to see. God, let me tell you what God did. This man was once lame, but look at him now. He's walking. He's taking shaky steps, but he's moving forward. He preached the gospel through this man's incident. You see, how many times do we not realize that we are having a test right now? God's taking us through a test, but he wants to take that test and turn it into a testimony. Amen? That's what God wants to do. He wants to use your life, because what Williamsport needs more than anything else is men and women who have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who have known what it's like to be once lame and now walking. Even though your walk is shaky, even though your walk is uncertain, even though you're not sure where you're going next, God's got you and you're holding tight to your community moving forward. That's what God wants to do here. So as you go through the transition, as you go through the transitions, whatever they may be, some may be personal, some may be bigger than that, just know that God wants to transform you here and here so that you can make an impact out there. You know, City Alliance Church, I just want to encourage you, encourage us, to remind you that we are not just a neighborhood church. City Alliance, we are a movement. We are a movement that has been birthed out of the greatest movement ever to happen, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Movements are always in flux, amen? Movements are always changing and they're shaping. Sometimes they slow down, sometimes they speed up. But a movement doesn't stop. A rolling stone doesn't gather moss. And God is moving us. Amen? And in order for us to move with him, we need to lean into the transitions. And here's the thing, church. I don't know what that's going to look like. I know that at times we're going to fail. At times we are going to succeed. At times we may even look foolish. But here's the thing. If we want to reach the people who no one else is reaching, we will have to do what no one else is doing. And that's who God's called us to be. To be a movement. In flux. Growing. Changing. Shaping. Reshaping. So as we enter into this season of rebuilding, as we enter this fresh new wave, we are going to need the Holy Spirit to get us through that. Amen? Okay, guys, can we all stand? Oh, in fact, as we're standing, I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And as they're coming back up, I know that we don't normally do this, but we don't know what normal is anymore. Maybe today you're in a season of transition. Could be a personal transition, maybe transitions that are happening at work that are going to impact you. But if you're in a transition right now, would you be okay if you just raised your hand? Because I want to pray for you. If you're in a season of transition, I see y'all. Keep your hands up. That's good. Because if you're not, you will be. And I think I saw most of our hands up because we want the new. We want the fresh. Behold, I am doing something new. I already am. Can you perceive it? Can you see it? So I want to pray for us that we can perceive the new, the fresh that God is doing in us. Some of us, it may not be obvious, but he's doing something fresh. He's doing something new that we need to take hold of. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? As we are, you, Lord, you saw the hands that were up. We are in transition. The changes are happening. Some of them are good changes. Some of them are changes that are happening to us. But you say you are doing something new. You are making a way where there is no way. And for many of us, we're frustrated, God, because it doesn't seem like you're doing anything. Even when we don't see it, we just want to declare right now that you are working. Even when we don't feel it, we declare that you are still working. You don't stop. So Father, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters who are in this season of transition. Help them to pay attention. Help them to grieve the losses. I pray, God, that they would not go to distraction, but they would go to you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to not only that, to just embrace the lessons, to worship in this season, as challenging as it is. But God, I pray that from this day forward, we just dedicate ourselves. We want to lean into you, God. We want to go where you're going to go. Equip us. Transform us. Change us. Our answer is yes. We say yes to you, God, already. In your Son's mighty and awesome name we pray. Amen.